let's talk about infidelity, PTSD, and the mental fog. I've talked about before the way that infidelity causes PTSD-like symptoms in people, things like intrusive thoughts specifically. Today I want to talk about the mental fog that is created. Beyond just sadness and anger, there's a lot of confusion that betrayal can leave you with. One symptom of this trauma is feeling like your memories have holes in them, like parts of your life story suddenly got erased or rewritten. And it's a weird sensation. You can look back at a vacation, a dinner, a conversation that maybe happened 5 years ago, and suddenly it's like the context is just gone. The story you told yourself about that day is no longer true. And so it leaves you questioning everything that you thought you knew about your partner, your history, and even yourself. So day by day, you might just randomly feel completely disoriented. Did that really happen? Did I imagine it? Was I blind this whole time? It makes you feel like an unreliable narrator in your own life. And one of the most exhausting things about this is just the inconsistency. You know, one day you'll be really clear on what happened, other days will feel foggy. Some days it feels like you remember everything with this sharp precision, and then the next, like you're starting over from scratch, completely confused. And especially if you've ever prided yourself in having a sharp memory or just being a competent person, it can be embarrassing to suddenly be struggling with these things. You might ask, what's wrong with me? Why is my brain just turning to mush? And this isn't a defect in character. It is a symptom of trauma. But just knowing that it's trauma doesn't always get rid of the fear or the confusion. There's usually still some anxiety because you're trying to recall events, because you're trying to look for patterns, you're trying to look for some type of red flag that you missed so you can make sense of it all and make sure it doesn't happen again. But then part of your brain is often also scared to look back, intentionally wants it to be foggy because you might be afraid of what you're going to find. And so it's like you don't trust yourself to look back because you're not sure you can handle it. But then when you do look back, you're not sure that you can trust what you're remembering. So your intuition, your instincts, the meaning, all of the past moments are just up in the air, day to day. And sometimes you can forget which timeline you're living in. There was a timeline, a false one, where you were happy, the relationship was good, you weren't betrayed. And some days you'll wake up on that timeline and suddenly be jolted back into the real timeline where you were betrayed and things blew up. And you don't want to fully get rid of the old timeline, at least not yet, not until you sort out what's real and what wasn't. People sometimes describe it as like the past is more like a movie that you remember watching instead of a life that you actually lived. Like you're just this weird spectator placed on the outside and you're seeing your partner and the affair partner living it and you're just on the sidelines. And this can often be a form of mourning. You know, it's grief over the loss of certainty. It's grief over the story that you used to have. It's grief over losing that emotional center and home in the other person. And it's even grief just over your own personal memories that are now tainted. It's like there's blood on them from a crime scene. And it's tough when family or friends don't understand what you're talking about. People think that memory issues means that you're just tired or that you're exaggerating. Maybe they see your confusion as like theatrical or you're grasping at straws, but it's neurological. You're not just dwelling on the past, you're trying to make sense of it because you're trying to make sense of who you are now. Oftentimes people will put a timeline on your clarity. They think that if you were just over it, you'd be thinking clearly again. And even your own partner might think that you're intentionally forgetting details or intentionally getting confused because you're just wanting to dwell in the past and not heal and move forward together. Oftentimes your brain is just scrambled. It's not on purpose. It's not helpful, but it's not like you're choosing to do this. And I think it just highlights how most people really just don't understand how the brain responds to trauma. They assume that memory isn't something that would be affected by it, but it absolutely is. They think that memory is like a video recorder. You just press play and the memories are there and they're always there. They don't understand that trauma often smashes that tape and scratches it up. And those things can be restored as you heal and your nervous system regulates, but they are temporarily often inaccessible. And just in general, I think people forget how malleable our memories are. Our memories, each time we access them, alter slightly. And so if you're accessing those memories in a highly triggered state, they might even alter more than normal. It's all part of a survival mechanism of dissociating from the painful memories. But because you think that there is something in those memories that you need to access for your own safety, it's like you're going back and forth between trying to associate into them and then dissociating out of them. And what's weird is that you could even be in reconciliation and things are getting better. The memory might be lagging behind a little bit. That's normal. Betrayal triggers the fight or flight response. So your brain perceives the betrayal as a threat. And in that survival mode, it diverts energy away from the hippocampus, which is where memories are processed, and sends it to the amygdala, which is kind of the alarm center. And that's the main reason why trauma fragments memory or just makes it temporarily harder to access. Sometimes it makes some details overly vivid, and then other details blurry or missing. You might remember the exact color of the shirt you were wearing when you found out, but can't remember the entire week following that moment. It's like the brain is picking specific things as danger symbols and saying, just pay attention to that and forgetting the rest. And a big part of it is your brain just trying to make sure that you don't get overwhelmed. It's trying to block out some of the pieces that it doesn't think are important. But part of the healing process is to trust to some extent that you do remember what you need to remember for right now. You have enough information right now. You don't need to go digging into your own mind or into someone else's mind. Some useful perspectives from psychology include the internal family systems approach, which basically suggests that different parts of you hold different pieces of the truth, and that's what causes some internal conflict. So, to give a metaphor, it's like all of these pieces of your memory are like the pieces of a puzzle, and the puzzle used to be intact. Now they're all flipped over, spread out, and your brain's trying to figure out which pieces of the memories that you thought you had are reliable and worth keeping. Parts of you want to hold on to certain pieces, and then other parts of you don't. So that's what can cause a lot of the confusion as far as, is this a piece that I want to carry with me or not? One part of you might hold on to the memory of your partner's kindness, while another part holds the memory of their lie, and it can be hard to square those two as far as which one should take priority. But don't rush the process. Confusion often precedes clarity. You can't see something new before deconstructing the old way of seeing it. And so that tension between the old perception and the new perception is difficult, but you have to go through it to be able to see your life a new way. And there's some benefit to the confusion and even the memory loss that takes place. I'm reminded of the story of Joseph in Genesis. He named his firstborn son the Hebrew word, which means causing to forget. He counted it as a blessing from God to be able to forget everything that happened. The trauma of his brothers throwing him in a pit, selling him into slavery, getting put in prison at one point. It was helpful for him to forget those things so that he could function in his new life. Sometimes forgetting is a mercy. Sometimes it's your brain's way of saying, we'll figure that out later. You don't need to have all the answers right now. And so in that time period of not fully knowing, you need to have more trust in your inner knowing, helping you distinguish between external facts and internal truth. You might not remember the facts of what happened externally, but your gut, your heart knows what's right for you now. Lean into that. Remind yourself that meaning is formed through lived experience in the present moment, not just factual recall. Your life still has meaning, even if the facts are blurry. And regardless of your religious persuasion, I think there is some value in faith in something bigger than yourself, so that you don't have to rely on knowing everything perfectly. And think about the movie The Truman Show. Truman was a man who lived a lovely life. He had a wife, job, nice home. His memories are filled with warm moments, but one day, a light falls from the sky, a radio frequency jams, and the cracks start to show. He slowly realizes that his entire life was a set. It was a facade. The people that he loved were actually just actors. The private moments were being broadcast. And when he starts to put the pieces together, he doesn't just feel anger, like he feels like he's going crazy. He looks at the wedding photos and wonders, like, Was her smile real? Was she directed to smile? His past didn't change physically, the events happened, but the truth of the past changed instantly. He had to reprocess his entire life. And that's what you're doing. You're waking up. It's painful, and the bright lights of the real world are blinding. But like Truman, your confusion isn't because you're broken, it's because you're finally seeing the truth. So how do you walk through that door? How do you manage the days when the fog is just extra thick? First, write down your thoughts as they come. Journaling can help organize fragmented memories. Get them out of your head onto paper. It can sometimes just stop the loop. But set boundaries in doing this. Don't do it for hours, maybe 20 minutes a day to just kind of write down your understanding of what happened. Get some of it out of your head, close the book, move on. When you feel the fog, also, secondly, focus on something concrete around. Not concrete from the past, but concrete in the present, or even concrete in the future. A specific goal that you know is important to you, or something in the room that you can directly touch and feel, and fix your attention on it. Also, be careful when you try to search for the truth. Avoid interrogating your memory when you're already worked up. Just focus on getting back to peace and on regulating your nervous system. If your heart's racing, you're not going to find the truth as well. You're not thinking as clearly. Wait until you're calm to ask the hard questions. Third, to stabilize your identity, create a certainty list. These are things that you know are true no matter what. I know I love my kids. I know I'm good at my job. I know I prefer tea over coffee. It could be as simple and mundane or as deep and meaningful as you want, but have these things that you know are true. In a particularly difficult time in my own life, one thing I was certain of was that the moon was there, even when I couldn't see it. And I would just remind myself of that. I've always loved the moon and just looking at it, feel a connection to the rest of the world when I look at the moon. And so that was particularly meaningful to me at a time when I was very confused about my life. And when you do talk about or think about your memories, talk about them in a way that doesn't demand perfect accuracy. Allow room for not knowing. It's okay to say, I think this happened, but I'm not sure. Focus on patterns, not perfect details. Your healing doesn't require reconstructing every minute. You don't need to know every timestamp to know that trust was broken. The pattern is enough truth. And similar to my previous point, if you are reconciling, ask for clarity from your partner only when emotions are relatively settled, not during panic, because you're likely to forget their specific answers and then go back anyway. So practice self-trust. Ask your body what feels true. Don't just rely on your mind, but also your body. Clarity returns gradually as your nervous system heals. So the more safety you build in your life, the more your memory will come back online. And as it comes back, as you start seeing things more clearly, you begin trusting your perception again. What feels like chaos now can eventually become a coherent story that you can hold and look at without fear, without being triggered. One day it will just be a chapter in your book, nothing more, nothing less, and certainly not the whole book. And like I said, the key is healing. As you heal, as your nervous system heals, that's when all these pieces start to connect. And if you want help with that, that's what I specialize in, so feel free to book a call or reach out